Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Hello again, beautiful listeners. We had to come back for a third part with Diane Comer because, like Cheryl, it seems like we should just have big mugs of coffee here and be sipping our coffee and talking story, like they say in Hawaii. That there's just so many parts of your life story, Diane, that we can resonate with, and how the Lord has been with you and led you and what he's done. The most remarkable part, and listeners, we really hope you go back and listen to part one and two so that you are all caught up with what we're going to talk about here in the third episode. But Diane, you were told in your mid-20s that you were going to lose your hearing, and all you had done to follow the Lord, serve the Lord, and this shock, like, why would he do this? And then this journey, have to listen to part two to find out how that all turned out. But I just loved hearing the beauty of how your faith was tempered. We talked about consecration, which is such a beautiful old word, like you said, that it's how the Lord refines us by fire. And the last part of what you said was that you didn't believe your children would be who they are now, your four children who love the Lord, that they went through that journey of faith with you during those years. And I just want to say thank you for being so vulnerable, because in sharing the challenges, that just gives hope to all of us to know that the Lord works in different ways in all of our lives, but how are we trusting him?
Yeah. Diane also wrote a book, and I want to know when you wrote the book, but you wrote the book, He Speaks in the Silence, Finding Intimacy with God by Learning to Listen. Is that so good?
Yes. And you were well qualified to write that.
So when did you write that?
Yes.
Like, how old were you when you wrote that book, or how long after the incident?
Oh, gosh, I'm so not good in numbers. It's, I mean, I was over the hump. I had my cochlear.
Okay.
I'd been sharing my story with women. I mean, you know, like an evangelist on fire, I wanted women to understand the love of God and the grace of God. And my story of failure, an adorned failure, and yet he loved me into wholeness. And so I'd been sharing it for a long time, and I had a blog at the time, like a lot of us did. And somebody contacted me about publishing my story, and so I started to write it then. And it was such a joy to be able to be honest on paper. Because once you've encountered the real grace of God, first of all, once you've encountered your real darkness and ugly side.
Which we all have.
Which we have, the dark side of us.
Such a shock.
And then been loved by Christ. In spite of us, you know. For me, before I even really repented or knew what I was repenting of, to be so loved by him, you can't help but just be honest from there on. That requires authenticity. To be fake was...
And yet, I find that one of the hardest things for women is to be honest with other women, because we're intimidated by other women. We're scared. I mean... There was a movie a few years ago, Mean Girls. And I remember watching it with my daughters going, oh, I knew those girls too. And I know those women in the church even, that there are this side of expectations and presentation and criticism. And then when someone is honest and says, look, I know who you really are. And, you know, this is what's really going on. But there's hope. And there's help. You don't have to be. I have this idea, like, if you're pretending to be somebody, you know that's the person you're supposed to be. You know, and I kind of think, why not really be that person you're pretending to be? Why not become that through the grace of God rather than just pretending? Because obviously, you know, that's who God wants you to be. Become that person.
Right. Except that, don't you think a little bit is that we have no idea how to do that?
Yeah, that's true.
And we're powerless against this ugliness inside of us. And, you know, like Paul's wrestle with in Romans 6, 7, and 8, mm-hmm. where he just expounds on.
Yeah, that which I way, would, yes.
Yeah. Way. I don't want to. I can't seem to stop it. And I think without an intervention, for some of us, without a clear intervention, we're going to keep going on, trying, failing.
But, you know, I think a lot of women have had the intervention and gone right past it. Because I think it takes going, okay, you know, there's sometimes they'll see it like you did at first. Like, this is just an affront.
Yeah.
And they stop there. This is an affront. Or like Martha. I'm going, Martha in the Bible, I'm just going to suppress these feelings. And I still, you know, I think when Jesus confronted her, or when she met Jesus, she's, you know, he's saying, you know, your brother will rise again. And, you know, he says, do you believe this? And she's like, I believe you're the Son of God that is coming to the world. Like, I still believe you disappointed me. Yes. You failed me. You didn't answer my prayer. You didn't come when I summoned you. But I still believe. I'm still going to hold on. Like, good for me.
Yes.
Good for me.
Yes.
You know, like, oh, that sounds bad like, on you, but yeah. good
that
for me.
Like,
yeah, good for me. And I think that, I think we've all been Martha mm-hmm. at
sure.
that point.
Oh, yeah.
But Jesus says, even with this little bit of faith,
yeah.
I'm still going to raise your brother. And then I love it when they get to the tomb, because obviously she didn't get it, what Jesus said, because she says, Lord, like social convention, please, you know, it was bad enough that he's in that tomb. Please don't roll that stone away, because he smells really bad. It's just going to be, you're just going to make matters worse. Look, I've dealt with this. Yes. I've dealt with this. We don't need to roll that stone away. Don't make it any worse.
Yeah. And the Jesus, tenderness of the Lord.
Yes. Like, and oh, Jesus Martha, says, Martha. Yes, didn't I say, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Mm. Didn't I say? Didn't I promise you? Yeah. And it's again, didn't I promise you, even in this, if you'll just trust me, you know, if you'll just believe it's going to be okay. You'll see the glory of God. You'll learn
like
intimacy.
The sweet blessing of being the age that the three of us are, that we can look back. We can see the glory of God along the path. We can see his. But to speak to those who are listening who are in their 20s and 30s and these things are happening, just, you know, as the older women to teach the younger women in this moment and say, trust God, surrender, get it over with.
Just
be leveled by the Holy Spirit so that he can make you, as Cheryl was saying, this is the person you want to be. Okay, let the Lord strip away all that is not of him. He won't share his glory with anyone else. Yeah. So let him be Lord and resurrect you to the person that he created you to be.
Yeah.
And it will be messy, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Just like the Lord told you when you were calling on him. It's okay.
Okay, so I just have to say this. All of our children are walking with the Lord, which is just a miracle. Yeah. I remember telling the Lord, because I went through processes. That's how I'll say it, with some of my children, some really hard processes, which broke me. But I feel, and they're just so right on with Jesus. Yeah. But I remember saying to the Lord, if you bring my children through, I promise never to write a book on parenting. No rules.
Wait, you're still making deals?
And I will tell, this is when we lived in England, and I will tell everyone it was grace, God's grace. And I think about how you said your message is grace.
Yeah.
And yet you and your husband have this incredible podcast where you get to tell people, this is the grace of God.
Yeah.
Raise your kids with grace and they'll walk with the Lord. And how many people are afraid to advocate grace, especially in parenting?
Right. Because you have more control when you're advocating perfect behavior, rules, appearances, what you're doing, and a whole lot less control if you're really, I just read Psalm 37, you know, we all know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And Robin, you mentioned trust. Mm-hmm. I happen to get, you know, I have the app. Do you have the app? Blue Letter Bible?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so I looked it up.
And
Blue Letter Bible, trust, like, you know, because we throw the word out, you know, like it sounds like it's easy. But trusting the Lord with your kids is not easy. Is a struggle. But one of the definitions of trust was feel safe.
Mm.
And I think, oh my goodness, that's something you can't do.
Mm-mm.
Just to yourself,
that's
to
so
feel
good.
Safe.
And it's got to be the Lord that holds them too. I mean, because my kids, you know, this is one thing when they grow up, they confess to you all the things that they did that you didn't know about.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like, oh, thank you, God, for blindness. You know, thank you that I didn't see this.
Yes.
But, you know, I mean, there were times I felt something in my spirit. My daughter, who had a very lively testimony, at one point she said she would turn to her friends and say, forget this party. My mom's praying right now. None of us is going to have a good time. And she said she confessed later that she could feel my prayers, which is interesting because I could feel my mom's prayers.
Yes.
At times I'm like, oh, I'm not supposed to do this. My mom must be praying. I need to get out of here.
My goodness.
And
I
would come home. I went to the homecoming dance and I just hated it. I was with a group of Christians and we left homecoming dance at our high school and decided to go bowling. And we came home and my mom had let me go because she believed in grace, right? And just had been on her knees the entire time praying. And I came home and she's like, how was it? And I'm like, oh, Mom, it was terrible. Our boat sank. My dress grew. So we all went bowling. She's like, hallelujah.
I love that.
Prayers answered.
Our prayers are powerful, especially mother's prayers. There's so much I could say. We had Stacy a week ago or so, Stacy Callender, who used to be head of Moms in Prayer for Southern California.
Okay.
And, you know, just the power of praying moms.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about our podcast. If our listeners would tune in, who would they hear and what would they hear? And what kind of subjects do you cover?
Okay, so you would hear my husband, Phil, myself, and my daughter, Elizabeth, and my son-in-law, Brooke.
That's so great.
And started this ministry to parents probably 12 years ago. In pastoral ministry up until that point, and when we handed the church over to our son, John Mark, we just asked him, what do you want us to do? You know, we are thrilled you want us a part of this, but what do you want us to do? And he just kind of scratched his head, and he said, Mom and Dad, nobody was raised, none of my friends were raised in a home like ours, and I think you need to teach all these young people that were coming to hear John Mark preach. I think you need to teach them the way you raised us, which was humbling because if you really know the whole story, it was a bumble most of the way through.
Oh, experimental. Everything's experimental.
Very normal. Yes, we understand.
Yeah. So we sat down, we made a conference out of it, then COVID hit and conferences were done. And it's a good thing. We tried to do birth through launch all in one, you know, 1.5 days. You know, parents were looking just glazed eyes by the time they left. And then so we filmed it, and our son-in-law came on at, we had been suggesting to him that this would be, he was a pastor. He would be so great at this because he was such an intentional, the name of that ministry is Intentional Parents. He was so intentional as a dad. I kept saying, you're the best dad I know. You know, raising your kids right now, I think you'd be amazing. So long story short, he came on with my daughter, Elizabeth. These kids knew all about how to do podcasts. Phil and I never would have done podcasts. We would have just kept, you know, doing what we knew.
Yeah.
And really, it was Brooke who created this conversation. You know, the first podcast, I showed up so prepared. Typed notes, and he made me put them away and said, no, we're just going to talk. And I thought, you know, I said, who in the world wants to just listen to us talk? I just didn't understand the world. So the credit goes to Brooke and Brooke and Elizabeth. So actually, a year ago, we handed the full leadership to Brooke and Elizabeth, who can take it now way beyond what we can.
Oh, that's so good.
We're still on staff,
yes,
you know, submitting to their leadership, which is,
you know, and I find that too, that part of where I'm at right now is, it's like when you start giving the china away, you start giving the silver away. My mom, I didn't get any of this until after she died, and I got boxes marked for Cheryl. And I think, you know, it wasn't used for all those years. And I think I want to give it now. to my children and watch them use it. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're doing as you give the church, because we also pass the church to our son, mm-hmm. and the beauty of being able to give it away.
Yeah.
And I find I want to give everything away now. I just want to scale down and just give it all away. Unfortunately, the kids are like, no, we don't want that either.
Yes.
We don't want grandma's bells. I'm trying to fight someone for grandma's bells, and they have to stay in the family, you know.
I know. But I have the same thing. Nobody wants my grandmother's china, which my mother gave to me.
Yes. So one of the things you said, you're currently working on a book to bring healing to the generational alienation that is so prevalent in our culture. Could you talk about that for a second? When I read that line, I went, yes.
Yes.
So good.
So
I'm getting that book for sure.
I was in the same course that you had taken before me, Cheryl, at Western Seminary, and every project was oriented towards your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I did a research project on to try and find the answer to the questions that I was receiving every time we met with parents, which was some version of my Christian parents are really hurting me.
Mm.
And they're disapproving of the way we're raising our kids, and they're trying to control some version of it. They're trying to control me, and all this tension between parents. And then I discovered in my studies that one in four American adults at any one time have completely cut off all contact with their mom or their dad.
Ooh.
Whoa.
That's millions.
Whoa. That is. Oh. Yeah.
And that should be just a flashing signboard that there is something wrong. And so what we're launching is, we're calling it the Generations Project, and I'm writing the book about it now. What can we do now? What can a young parent do now? I mean, honestly, going back, I kind of beta tested it with a lot of women my age and got nowhere. There was no sense of humility. Oh my goodness, we need to be careful with our kids.
Oh, Diane, that breaks my heart because it's the next generation has to have, I mean, here biblically we're told to give the older women teach the younger women and that sort of passing on. But if the older women think, I did a good job, it's their problem that they aren't doing what I told them to do.
Exactly the response that I got over and over and over again. But we raised our kids in the 80s and the 90s, right? And
I find myself apologizing constantly. I don't know about you.
You mentioned your mother started that.
And
we talk a lot in our ministry about making repairs.
Right.
Yes.
So much power in that.
Yes.
There is.
Love does cover a multitude of sins. Mm-hmm. It really does.
But we live in a.
Your kids hit a delete button.
Yes.
And they stop remembering from the moment you make genuinely humble repairs.
Yes.
But the younger generation are looking at what's going on and they're saying, how do we not do that?
Mm-hmm.
How do we set a table that our kids want to come home to?
So good.
And of course, you have to go back to who God is.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that even when we fail and we fumble, and you heard my story of darkness and ugliness, even when we've just muddied ourselves, why is it that we keep coming back to his table?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's in Exodus, there's the story we all know that Moses is meeting with God. The people get scared. They've been enslaved for generation after generation after generation. Talk about generational trauma.
Mm.
And they make the golden calf. And Moses intercedes when God offers to wipe them out.
Mm.
And he essentially says to me, and this is Diane's paraphrase.
I love it.
We don't even know you. I don't even know you. Show me who you are. Tell us who you are. And God uses six characteristics to these newly freed slaves. And the first one that he says is, I am compassionate. This is in Exodus 34, 5, and 6. Oh. I'm compassionate. I think wayward kids, really blowing it. I am holy. I am the authority. I can wipe you off the face.
Yeah.
He doesn't. Mm-hmm. He starts with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And then he moves on, and there's humility and faithfulness and
mercy,
forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
When is this book going to be done?
Oh, I'm just starting.
Go, Diane, go. This could be fabulous.
Yeah.
When our kids were growing up, we had the same house. And when we moved in, the floors were bare, and we wrote on the stairs the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience,
cute.
Kindness, goodness.
Precious.
And so as they were growing up, it would be like, okay, you go sit on the patience step, and you think about what you're what this is reminding me of is when our son was leaving for college his freshman year, and everything, and it's in the car, and he's ready to go, and there's been like all the praying and the blessing to send him off to be this college student. But I stopped him, and I go, okay, go stand on the love step, first step. I took him by the shoulders, I looked him in the eye, and I said, okay, now go make all your own decisions. Maybe a few disasters, but come home and tell me all about it.
Oh.
And he said years later, like, that was the most freeing blessing you could have given me. Like, I get to go figure it out and make my own choices. Like, you've given me tools. But look, it's the relationship, and that's what you're saying, the compassion. Like, I want you back here, whatever your story
whatever
is that you're going to tell
in.
Me. But I want that relationship to continue. And that was not premeditated. That was just like a mother, like, okay, last minute. Okay, it's
but
nighttime.
We live in a culture of
off
cancellation.
You
if you don't please
yes.
me, if I don't like
don't
it, I just walk away. And unfortunately, that's what people are doing in their families and not recognizing, like, we're all image bearers. We're all image bearers. But how much more our children, they don't just bear the image of God. They bear our image. And we need to. I asked my son when he first, you know, went into the ministry, I said, I think he wasn't even married. I said, what do you need from me? You know, what do you need from me? You know, I feel like you're fully grown. You don't need me anymore. But what do you think you need from me? He goes, well, I need your support. I'm like, okay. He goes, no, I need your emotional support. I need your financial support at times.
Mm-hmm.
And I need your physical support. I need you to applaud my, you know, my accomplishments. And I said, okay, you got it. You got all of that, even the financial support.
Good.
And he said, I need you to make an investment in me.
Yeah.
And again, like faith is an investment.
Yeah.
And I love that scripture that Paul says that God, and I'm going to paraphrase like, because you did, I'm taking liberties. But it's like God made an investment in me by enabling me and putting me in the ministry. This is what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1. He tells Timothy, like God made an investment in me. And what else is he doing when he gives us his Holy Spirit? But investing in us, how much more we need to invest. I love this. I love this. I can't wait for this book. It's so good because I can't write a book on parenting because I made a deal with God. But you can. I can hand it out, right?
That's it.
Well, full of our own stumbles.
Yes.
I mean, it's the only way to write a book about kids and your relationships with them is you have to be honest and expose. I learn almost everything the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
Very few things get into my bones and into my heart unless I make a mistake and fall on my face, and I'm humiliated, and
but that's
see the truth.
This is very familiar.
Yes. I think that I like to call it the comic relief of my life. I think one of the most amazing things with Brian and I is that we've learned to laugh at ourselves, and we've learned to laugh together. And I think that if I can see my stumbling, or like you said, as a, well, what did you expect? It's me. You know, and laugh. And I think that I can laugh with God.
Yeah.
You know?
I think so, too. Without shame. Because
exactly.
So comfortable.
And that's what we want to give
so
our
loved.
Children, that relationship.
Yeah,
that
we do.
I support you, just like you were asked.
Yeah.
I want your support. I want your compassion.
Yeah.
Like God told
And you're going to make
Moses
mistakes
that,
along the way, and I'm still going to be on
your
side.
I want to hear all about it.
Yes, I love
ridiculous.
That story.
Yes.
And okay, but tell us more. Like, what are the things? I just don't want to run out of time. So tell us what you had in mind when you came here today that you really wanted to convey.
I think more than anything else for women is that you can have an intimate walk with God where he is present to you in your everyday.
Yes.
And he is actually changing you without a lot of self-effort. He will give you invitations, and you can accept or deny those. But if you accept some of those invitations, especially into suffering, then he will do a good work in you and make you who you wish you were. And that is why I love him to the ends of my days.
Oh, beautiful.
So I love that. And another aspect that you brought up, too, is, you know, these everyone's got baggage that they don't realize. And our kids have baggage, yeah. too. And they need a place where they can process it, yeah. where they're safe. And so I'm really excited about the books that are coming up. And again, there's a podcast that you can go to.
Yeah, look in the show notes and we'll
list. Because I forgot the name of, what's the podcast again?
The Intentional Parents.
Okay. There you go. And so you can listen to that. And she's got a book. He speaks
Thank
in the
silence.
Thank
you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.